You're listening to
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
With Dawn Sarah.
With Dawn Sarah.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hey you, here we are with another episode of Sex Gets Real. I am ridiculously excited about this episode. This chat is one of my favorites in recent memory. I loved it so much. It's with the creators and founders of Afrosexology. Their names are Delisha and Rafaela. They are so smart and so crystal clear on what they're doing and creating. It's amazing. Before I tell you all about Afrosexology, I just also want to kind of weigh in really quickly. Playboy just announced that they were going to be having their first trans woman centerfold. And unfortunately, Jenna Jameson came out and made it pretty clear that she really disagrees with that decision. And after saying that, of course, all kinds of people have been telling her how disappointed they are and how transphobic it is. And she has really doubled down and gotten quite nasty in her replies. And I just want to say, I think that it's amazing that trans women have an opportunity to be in a space that's typically been not very inclusive of trans women. I want to see more trans women in porn, in modeling, in television shows, portrayed as women, as themselves, on their own terms. And so while I have big issues with Hugh Hefner, and I'm not such a fan of some of the stuff that Playboy has done over the years, I do think that if they're going to include a trans woman centerfold, that we should absolutely support the model who's doing that. And I just want to say Jenna Jameson has super missed the boat. And I'm really disappointed that she's doing that. And I mean, it's not that much of a surprise. She's kind of in the past made it clear that she really is not a very liberal person. And as goes with porn, there's a lot of conservatism in porn, a lot of racism, a lot of transphobia, so much fatphobia. So, you know, not that big of a surprise, but it's in the news. And I just kind of wanted to say, like, yay for trans women being more visible. And there's so many other things to say, but I don't want to hijack the episode. So I just wanted to offer that. I also want to let you know about Afrosexology before we dive into this amazing conversation. It's so good. So let me read you a little bit about Afrosexology, and then Delisha, Rafaela, and I are going to take it away. So Afrosexology provides comprehensive pleasure-based education centered around the narratives and liberation of Black people. We curate community discussions, educational materials, and sex-positive events that cover topics such as masturbation, self-love, enhancing communication in relationships, radical twerking, which we totally talk about, oral sex, body agency, and much, much more. We work with diverse groups, including sexuality professionals, community organizations, individuals, parents, youth, spiritual communities, universities, and anyone else who wants to live a sex-positive life. Our mission is to educate, explore, and reclaim Black sexuality by promoting Black self-empowerment through sexual liberation. We celebrated our second birthday this summer and are proud to have worked with over 1,000 individuals. Afrosexology has created spaces where people feel free to express everything from shame to sexual desires, challenge stereotypes around sexual agency, and build an affirming community around shared experiences. We believe that there is so much to unpack and reclaim when it comes to our bodies and sexuality, and we want people to live their most pleasurable lives. There is a lot to dig into in this chat, and it is so beautiful and amazing. I hope you'll check out their Instagram because I gush over it several times in our interview. So here we are, the two folks behind Afrosexology, Delisha and Rafaela, and myself. Welcome to Sex Gets Real to both of you, Delisha and Rafaela. I am so excited you're here.
Hi.
Thank you. Hey.
We're so excited to be doing this.
Oh my God. If nothing else, my hope is that every person that listens to this just goes and checks out the super rad stuff that you do, because I am completely in love with it, and I hope everyone falls in love with you while we're talking today, because you're doing some rad stuff and have such a beautiful Instagram and beautiful mission. So let's see where we end up.
Oh, thank you so much for that affirmation. The love and feeling is mutual. Your conference is so dope, and your work is great. So we love it. So this is a great match.
Perfect. It could be our little like circle jerk of joy. Okay. So here's where I want to start. I know that the two of you are behind Afrosexology, and that is all about creating a Black, liberated, sexually free, accepting, loving, curious community. And I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit more about kind of what you saw as the need and why these conversations are just so important to you.
Delisha and I both have very long but different, but also very similar experiences when it comes to sexual education, sexual health, and working in our own communities. I'll let you share that, Delisha. But when we were in graduate school studying social work, we were on different paths. I'm more so clinical, but we kept coming back to these conversations and wanting to work with the community around the things that were going on in terms of lack of sexual education that was empowering, that was pleasure-based, that wasn't full of talking about the negative statistics and making us feel like we didn't have anything like really to look forward to in our sexual lives and our sexual journeys, because it's full of trauma in different aspects. So we kind of just got together and wanted to talk about the ways that you can reclaim power, the ways that you can insert pleasure in your life, and in turn decrease the likelihood of those negative statistics being part of your life, right? So instead of harping on, oh, well, this is what STIs look like, and this is what happens if you don't use that. Well, let's talk about how you can be powerful, how you can say what you like, what you don't like, how you can demand that from other people. And when you have that voice, you are also saying, well, this is how I want to engage in this type of act. And if you're saying, well, an STI to me is not pleasurable to experience, then I'm going to ensure that I'm protecting myself so I can decrease my likelihood of that happening. So it's kind of like using a different approach as opposed of using the fear tactics that we're always hearing about. And going in hand with that and just talking about the Black community who have just experienced and been subjected to so much sexual shame and policing, generation over generation, over our bodies, over our actions. It's just using this tool of pleasure and power and identity to reclaim our bodies and, you know, move towards the field of sexual liberation. So, I don't know. That's basically where it comes from, what we do, what we try to practice, and how we basically just want to invite people on this journey with us. We very frequently talk about, yes, we're the ones doing this work. We're researching. We want to bring this information to you, but we're not the experts on your body or your experiences. And we want it to be truly a journey for everybody to learn from one another and share with one another.
Yeah. So the only thing I want to add on is that for me, Afrosexology has increasingly become a way for me to nurture my inner teen. And so providing the information, having the conversations, creating the spaces that I wish I had growing up, and that there was just so much silence around sexuality and so much shame around our bodies and what our bodies should experience, could experience. And I found, for me, just so much power and pleasure and joy in getting to know myself and knowing how great I'm able to make myself feel, and wanting to encourage Black people of color to unpack a lot of the shame that we carry around from, you know, white supremacy and like historical trauma and current trauma, and just really know that our lives are worth more than just surviving. Like, we're here to do more to just than to just survive, and we deserve to thrive and to live. And a major part of that is pleasure. And I, for me, like, looking at the sex positive community, it was really white, and it was, again, feeling like we were being left behind, and that we were still getting the older conversations around risk and trauma and trying to avoid pregnancies. And we were being left out of this amazing conversation that was, like, extremely sex positive, that was liberating, and that was actually, in my opinion, started by, like, Black women who rejected a lot of white stereotypes during the blues era and after slavery, to reclaim and to hold on to the sexuality and to not have to fit into that norm. So to see something that is rings true to our culture to be left out of it was really disheartening for me. And so Raphael and I were just like, what do we want? Like, what do we wish we had? What do we want to do? And for us, it wasn't really sitting around and lecturing people. It was more so just, like, creating spaces for us to have the conversations that we very seldom get to have.
I love so much of what you're saying, and I totally agree. Like, one of the things I've started coming to is that I think sex positivity is really well-meaning, but it's so deeply rooted in so many oppressive frameworks, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's super white, and it's just all about, like, colonialist ideals. And yeah. It's also, I've found that so much sex positivity in trying to be super free and liberated still continues to be very prescriptivist, and that yeah. It's like telling people how mm-hmm. to be experiencing their sexual freedom and telling people how to experience the best, most whatever types of orgasms, which might not be available to people. Yeah. And so I really like how you're talking about, like, this isn't about telling people what their experiences are. It's about having conversations and kind of being on a journey together, and how you're so right. Like, none of us are experts on anybody else's body or experiences, especially once we start considering the different ways we experience life and culture. And I just think there's so much power in, like, let's talk about what's happening to us, and let's talk about pleasure and what that looks like for you on your terms versus me telling you how you should be experiencing it.
Right. And I mean, we have so many people who engage with our work who identify as asexual, who are celibate, and we emphasize all the time that especially for people of color, Black people who have been seen as hypersexual, choosing to be celibate is an act of liberation, you know? So, like, for us to say that, like, you being practicing celibacy or you choosing to not engage in sex is now you're doing sex positivity wrong, like, that really rubs me the wrong way. And so for us, it's like, I don't care what pleasure looks like for you. I don't care if it's you wanting to live a life of celibacy. I don't care if it's you wanting to have sex on stage in front of, like, 500 people. Like, we just want you to feel empowered and that you have the resources and the tools to get you there and to live your most pleasurable life, however you define yes. it.
Oh my God. I just, like, love all of that. That's so amazing. So when you're kind of, like, thinking about pleasure as liberation and giving mm-hmm. people these tools and resources so that they can find their way towards what that means for them, like, what are some of your favorite tools that you love talking about or teaching or inviting people to even just consider mm-hmm. on their own journeys of, like, well, what does pleasure look like for me?
For me, it's okay. So I'll just tell you about something really fun that we like to do, is really going through our senses with other people in terms of what are the smells that really brings you to a certain spot that you really enjoy? What type of memories come from those when you smell it? Are there certain foods that you especially enjoy eating that brings you pleasure? Music, sounds, things like that. I remember meeting someone who had, during a period of their life, they played a lot of pool and they enjoyed it. And due to, like, an injury with their wrist or something, they didn't play it as much, but they still received, like, a lot of good memories and stimulation if they heard the sound of two pool balls hitting one another. Mm. And they created, like, in their repertoire of music, like, incorporated that sound so they can hear it from time to time. So it's like the little things that we don't really think about. When we think about pleasure, a lot of times it is about sex. But kind of going back to inserting more pleasure in our lives. So I think that's always been a really fun activity because it gets people to think outside of the box of, oh, well, I'd like to see this type of body that's all oiled up. Or I want to think about, you know, strawberries and whipped cream. But just getting a little deeper and really thinking about what do you contact or come in contact with every single day that brings you pleasure? And if it's something that you can come in contact with and you're not, how can you make sure that it happens more often?
Yeah, I love that. So going along with that, for me, it's like, what, when I wake up, what smells do I want to smell in the day? So just making sure that I have a lot more candles around. And I love sandalwood, so sandalwood candles. And just the being more intentional about the clothes I put on my body. Mm-hmm. And just making sure that, like, outside of my sexual experiences, I'm also incorporating pleasure in my life all around. And yeah, that has been, I think, a really good starting point. Because if you're not comfortable allowing yourself to experience pleasure in, like, non-sexual aspects of your life, like, it is, in my opinion, really challenging to allow yourself to experience pleasure in the sexual aspect in, like, a more intimate setting. And so just making sure that you're surrounding yourself with things that make you feel good and not attaching a judgment to it.
I'm so glad you said that because I have so many people who write into me and who I've even worked with just coaching who... They have so much shame that when it comes to sex, they don't really know what they want. They don't really understand their bodies. They don't know how to get started. They don't know what feels good. And when we talk about pleasure outside of sex, it's a similar story. And I think it's so interesting that we're all kind of conditioned to think that we can just kind of move through our lives disconnected. And then all of a sudden we're in a sexual situation and we're supposed to know what pleasure looks like and how it feels and what we want and how to ask for it when we don't ever practice it in other situations.
Yeah.
And so I love this, like, everyday invitation of, like, and we were talking before the call too, how, like, when you orient towards pleasure, it requires you to be much more present every day, which can also be such a challenge, but, like, you can't really understand if you're loving something or hating something or just kind of enjoying something a little bit unless you're actually very present and in that experience.
And then, like, when it does come to sex, the thing that, I mean, I love talking about, and I think Rafaela also was talking about, is masturbation and just that being the starting point of getting to learn those things about yourself and to explore your body and to slow things down and to really, I like to say, love yourself, romance yourself, fuck yourself. And really, it's like, spend the time doing yourself and figuring out what you like and what you don't like and trying new things and being adventurous and being curious and adding in sounds and adding in smells and adding all of that stuff to an experience just for yourself and really worshiping, loving on, like, catering to your own needs first to where you can even figure out what you want to bring into a sexual experience with a partner. How you want to continue your solo sexual experiences. I think masturbation is the thing that I love to talk about and preach about the most. I just think everyone should be masturbating all the time. It's just such a great way to just get in tune with yourself.
And, like, naming too that, like, masturbation or solo sex doesn't have to involve genitals, I think is so important. Like, it can involve touching your skin erotically or touching other parts of your body or leaving all your clothes on, but just, like, sitting on something that's maybe vibrating. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways for us to just, like, erotically and pleasurably enjoy our bodies from head to toe. And I love that invitation of just, like, try all the sounds and the smells and the feelings and the, like, that sounds like fun homework to me, but I know for a lot of people that shame makes them just, like, cringe at the thought.
And I really love how you mentioned how there are different ways to love on yourself, because it can be very intimidating when people talk about masturbation and what should they be doing to their genitals, if they should be doing anything, and what should they be using. But if we start talking about other parts of our bodies, then you can kind of ease your way into it. And that's really what this is all about. It's just like you should ease in with the partner if you choose to do so, ease in with yourself so you can get the full experience. And if that is, you know, taking a feather or, you know, I don't know, some clips or something and seeing how different pressure points feel in your body to, you know, using a warm water or whatever the case is, like just taking baby steps and just touching all over your body as opposed to going straight to how do I finger myself? What is that? Well, I don't want to do that. That sounds really weird, which is we get people asking questions about that too. Like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And that to me is just such a, it's such a symptom, right, of a world that isn't giving people what they need to even just be able to enjoy their bodies on their terms. Like, you know, you're talking about pleasure as a radical act and as a tool of liberation. And I think like that's such a powerful kind of link to make of when you have just total autonomy and sovereignty over your body, but then everyone around you is telling you, you shouldn't be touching yourself or looking at yourself or experiencing yourself in certain ways. Like that control continues and that like conformity continues that we're swimming in. And so this like invitation of, no, this is your body. And, you know, you haven't been given these tools. So it's not that there's something wrong with you. It's that there's something wrong with everything around us that doesn't tell us, celebrate yourselves in however feels good.
And all the people telling us not to. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, picturing a parent slapping their kid's hand away when their hands are in their pants or something like that, or even self-soothing, forcing your kid to not suck their thumb, or like anything that they're doing that's bringing them calm. And we're like, nope, you can't do it that way. You need to learn a new way to calm yourself. And you're like, okay. So we're like at a very early age taught that like our body is not ours. There's certain things that we can or cannot do to our bodies. Certain things are shameful, and it takes us so long to get those thoughts and those ideas out of our heads. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's what makes our work so exciting, is that especially for the Black experience, so much of our existence has been around surviving whiteness and limiting our movement to where we don't offend white people and just protecting ourselves and trying to make it and trying to survive. And we're constantly getting messages that Black isn't beautiful enough, that Black women are the least likely to get married, that, you know, that we're hypersexual, just all this negative stuff that is coming at us. And then also the very physical stuff around police brutality and really feeling like we don't own our bodies. We don't have agency over ourselves, and we're not able to protect ourselves. So to have all of that going on, and for us to be able to say, let's work on, like, as we're working on what it means to have economic, social, and political agency and liberation, like, let's start with the first thing that was violated when we were brought here to this country, and they took away our agency over our bodies and put our babies, our babies, a lot to happen to our babies too, but exploited our bodies and dehumanized our bodies and really just took away any agency that we had over what happened to us and how we used it and how we moved. And let's start there, and really let's start reshifting what it means to be in tune with our bodies and to reclaim that agency and to reclaim that power and to move the way we want to move, and to not just move in a way that feels like we're rejecting white people, but in a way that is like, I want you to experience pleasure, like joy, love, happiness, like all of this like positive stuff, the stuff that was never intended for us to experience because we were never intended to survive in the first place. And so to me, that's what makes it feel radical, that we're sitting around in a space with bodies of color talking about the things that we're not supposed to be talking about. We're supposed to come together when we're talking about trauma, or we're supposed to come together when there's like something really fearful happening in our community, but we don't get to come together when we're talking about love and joy and happiness and things that make us feel good. And so that to me feels like an act of resistance to the system that never wanted us to be here or didn't intend for us to be here this long. And I love it. I love it. I love seeing people who come to our stuff in the beginning and say how, you know, they don't even know where to start. And there's all this like fear around their bodies. And like, how could there not be fear around your bodies? Like all the stuff we've talked about, of course there's fear. And then on top of that, you're Black. And then maybe you're a woman, or maybe you're queer, or maybe you're trans. And of course there's so much fear around your body. And when we begin to start peeling back those layers, like we have seen the difference in people who now we're like, I can actually twerk for fun. And now I masturbate and I brought sex toys. And now I can tell my partner what I want in bed. And like, you see them reclaim that power. And to also know that if we can reclaim the power there, why can't we reclaim it when it comes to economics and politics and social agency? So that is why to me, this work feels so powerful and just meaningful.
It's so amazing. Like, oh my God, I love this so much. And I also really love what you said about, like, it's not about rejecting whiteness, because that's almost like continuing to center whiteness just in like the negative of like, well, it's like when you say, don't think about an elephant, all you think about is an elephant. So if you're like, you know, we're rejecting whiteness, it's still whiteness that's at the forefront. And so I love how you're like, no, what does love and joy and happiness look like on our own terms outside of this paradigm? Like, this is ours. And, and there is so much power in that.
Yeah. Taking down white supremacy one orgasm at a time.
Hell yeah. And I mean, like, who doesn't, you know, like, and I don't want to say you have to be sexual to be a part of this journey. You don't, but like, who wouldn't want pleasure to be a tool of liberation? You know, I mean, like, you might not be a person who experiences like sexual desire towards others or who even wants to be in a sexual relationship with others, but even in our own bodies, to just be able to say, like, this is my body and these are my edges. And these are the things that feel really good for me in this moment. And these are my terms. Like, that is power.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned twerking. And I know that you teach a class all about radical twerking and this like very like somatic embodied kind of like moving our bodies on our own terms. And I so want you to tell us about this.
Okay. Where do I start? So twerking is definitely, for me, has been one of the, other than masturbating, has been one of the practical tools to like reclaim my body and my agency. And so we, in that workshop, we really do a lot of education around the history of dance in cultures of color and how it was sensual and it was spiritual and it was celebratory and it was powerful and all of this stuff and what it meant to us and how, you know, during colonization, like that message got distorted. And so now we have this idea of twerking as this hypersexual thing that is seen as, people see it as ghetto and proper and all of this stuff. And a lot of, like, my family in particular had internalized those messages. And so it was growing up and being like, well, you can't move that way because we're not those type of people. So just like a bunch of respectability politics. And again, in my sense, like centering whiteness. And so to be able to say, like, forget all of that. And this feels natural to me. And I want to move and I want to dance. And I don't want to feel like by me dancing like this, I'm inviting some kind of negative behavior to happen to me or inviting people to think differently of me or to think that I'm lower than whatever. And just rejecting all that and like really sitting in the joy and the pleasure that we get for dancing, dancing for ourselves, dancing with other people, dancing with our friends. And it's something that's really rooted in Black culture. And so to feel like we can't dance because if we do dance, we become this like trope, really. It's something that I think for me has like existed a lot in my life. And so when I started really twerking it, I was so like, I felt so foreign from my body. Like I was like, I don't even know how to move. And I like slowed it down into this like meditative thing. So it's kind of like my form of yoga. It's like all of these twerk positions just really slow down and elongated and taking my time to get into with my hips, with my ass, with like my, there's the way that my body moves and just letting it move freely. It just felt so much more connected in a way that it had been intentionally disconnected for so long. So I think here in the West, you know, like we operate really a lot in our heads. And so just really bringing our bodies back into this work. I think a lot of times, even when we're talking about sex positivity and I feel like the conversation I'm having right now, it's like a lot of it is like in our heads and it's just like theory, but like twerking and masturbating and like putting this stuff into action is putting it, like putting our bodies into this work. It really not just thinking about twerking, but understanding what it means to, like, the joy and how it feels in your body to move and to be connected and to, like, dance when you're not caring who's looking, dance when you're not trying to, like, get anyone's attention, just dancing and moving for yourself. And so that is what we do in our workshop. I love it. It's so much fun. And then everyone twerks, and then we throw a twerk party, and it's so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I think one thing that's always interesting is just hearing when we're actually doing the sex shop and just kind of going around and listening to everyone's experiences with moving their bodies in public, if it's in the home, the type of rules that they were given, if it's in public, if they're supposed to be moving a certain way, or even like if you're Black and someone who's not Black is like, oh, do you know how to twerk? Can you teach me? And you're like, no, it's a big old no. And just like taking into deeper account, you know, where everything is coming from and how it's causing us to move or not move and feel comfortable or not feel comfortable, or even how we're judging other people, maybe because we wish we had that freedom to move in that way. Or sometimes we're embarrassed because we know that they're being judged and we wish we could say like, hey, you know, they're probably looking at you like, oh, she's ratchet. Why is she twerking like that? And you want to protect them or save them. So it's, there's so many different, I think, experiences and viewpoints when it comes to respectability politics and shame and guilt and envy as well and jealousy in terms of what we wish we could do and what we can't do because of our parents or society in general. So it's always really interesting to just hear people's experiences. And then at the end, when we actually go through, you know, a few movements, they're really into it. Like, I'm going to twerk. I'm going to reclaim this. And I'm going to figure out a way to insert more of this into my life. So it gets deep.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, hearing stories from, like, we had a 17-year-old who was like, if I'm twerking in a space, people think, like, I'm being young and wild. And then you hear, like, a grandmother who's like, well, I can't be twerking because I'm a grandma, but I love dancing. And I feel like, you know, if I do this and I'm not being a good grandmother. Then there was a woman who was like a dancer. And when she got married, she felt like it wasn't okay for her to dance in a certain way. So all these messages, again, that just is like limiting what we can do with our own bodies and just not responding to that and learning how to let go of a lot of the shame and the stuff that we carry around all the time that just restricts us and stops us from experiencing pleasure and keeps us from being attuned with our bodies and expressing our bodies in the way that we want to.
I love hearing that, like, these movement workshops are all about naming those things and then setting them down and saying, like, we don't have to carry this anymore. And this is your body. You get to use it however you want to on your terms. Like, oh my God, it gives me chills just hearing you talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, and it's also not, I mean, I want to say our work feels new, but the more history that I do into, like, our ancestors, I'm like, this isn't new. And so, you know, post-slavery, there was definitely, like, a group of people who wanted to fit into white norms and went down that path of adhering to the standards that were placed on white women of how to be prim and proper and ladylike and virginal and all this stuff. And then there was a group of women who, a lot of them who were musicians, who were drinking and smoking and talking about their sex lives and talking about their husbands and their boyfriends and their girlfriends and just like really rejecting that narrative of, I don't have to, again, like, center whiteness and limit my body. Like, I enjoy sex. Why would I not have more sex? Why would I not talk about it? And so when I look back into that, I'm like, we've always held on. And that's why I'm like, we've held on to sex positivity, even when white women were still like figuring out, how to get out of the dichotomies and the norms that were set by patriarchal systems. Like, Black women were just like, no, like, I don't have to do that. And so I love to feel like we're continuing that work and making sure that conversation stays alive, because again, we don't have to. We can be free. We can, like, do what we want for with our bodies and have that agency.
Okay, so we're taking a quick break because this episode is actually sponsored by RX Bars, which is food. And I know food in a sex podcast might seem kind of weird, but food and sex are actually an amazing combination.
And I love that RX Bar is sponsoring this episode. They sent me free samples. And I actually had a couple of different flavors. They were really good. My favorite was definitely the chocolate sea salt. And so if you're looking for an RX Bar for a post-sex snack or maybe a quick tasty bite that you keep in your bag if you're on your way to, I don't know, one of Afrosexology's amazing sex workshops. The cool thing is RX bars are gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, have no added sugar, no artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or fillers. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, I talk all the time about the importance of having a really good lube that's not full of petroleum-based shit or burn-inducing sugars. And RX bars are kind of like that, but for your tummy. So that's a win. All the ingredients are printed right on the front of the package. You know exactly what you're putting in your body, which I am an advocate for, whether it's in your mouth or other places. If you want to check out RX Bar, you can actually get 25% off your first order. Just go to rxbar.com/SGR. That's super important so that they know you're a Sex Gets Real listener. It helps me out a lot. And then enter promo code SGR at checkout, and that gets your 25% off. So check out RX Bars. I really, really liked the chocolate sea salt, and I love all the ingredients on the outside. I wish lubes did that too. Back to the show.
So when you think about centering pleasure and like the importance of a pleasure-based, I don't even want to just say like sex education. I mean, like when we center our pleasure in how we're having relationships and how we're experiencing our body just in the day-to-day, I mean, there's so much beauty there. And then talking about like this movement and kind of finding your way back to moving your body on your own terms. What are some other ways that you really like to help people find their way towards pleasure in the work that you do? The stories that you tell or the tips and the resources that you offer? Because I know so many folks have just completely closed themselves off from that.
Yeah, so you, when we first started, you mentioned our Instagram. And so social media has been really great for, I think for us, to create a space, a really intentional space that includes Black people in the conversation and that lets people see themselves and brings other people into the conversations. So we're really intentional about posting Black artwork on our Instagram, for example, because a lot of times we don't get to see ourselves being sexual and erotic and sensual and doing all these like pleasurable things. And I think it really skews who we think deserves pleasure. If we're always just seeing pink pussies, right? Then we just think like, oh, it's just for that. So for us, like creating that space to where we can visually see ourselves reflected, to me gives a lot of permission for people to say like, well, I see that image. I too can also be doing this. And then I think a major part of our work is just creating space for people to have conversations and to see other people having these conversations and feel like they can join in. So a lot of times if you notice on social media, we're posting mostly questions instead of necessarily like, here's a fun fact and or like, here's directions or advice. It's, this is what I'm dealing with. This is something I've been thinking about. What are you all thinking about? What are you all doing? What are your thoughts on this topic? And then the conversations that start happening underneath that, to me, is really the work. So the work isn't even like what we're posting. It's the community that's being created where you get to see other people, specifically people of color, talking about these things that we don't often get to talk about. And then you can hear other people's thoughts, and then you can like it, and then you can respond. And the interaction that happens there, to me, is like one of those foundational spaces to like begin normalizing us talking about these things, normalizing that we experience these things and that we feel these things. And that is beautiful. And I love all of those spaces that we create.
Delisha, that was beautiful. Definitely. You. I think that's one of my favorite parts about Afrosexology is our Instagram, and especially just the hard work that goes into it and everything that we've gone through with the page. But not only just going there, even myself, when I just want to see something positive or empowering or something that's thoughtful that I want to reflect on that we posted in the past, but also it's just very appealing to the eyes, you know? And I always feel really full when I'm going through the comments as well, because I don't know, I don't see everything, but I have, and Delisha, you can chime in on this, I have never seen anything negative where someone is talking about, you know, what we should or shouldn't be talking about. And there have been things where people have shared about their experiences where they're being open and honest, but you can consider that a negative experience, but it hasn't been something directed towards us or the work that we're doing, which is also very affirming to, one, that this is something that's important, something that people want to keep seeing and participating in. And that's one thing that I really love. And just also seeing people communicate with one another, reading each other's posts and feeling and knowing like this is a safe space. And if there is something that's like out of line, then we kind of talk about how do we want to address this, or, you know, keep this in the space or not. So I think that in itself is very therapeutic, especially in a world where you're told that this isn't important at all. Like, your body itself is not important. It doesn't deserve to be discussed. And when it is discussed, again, going back to the beginning of the conversation, it's, oh, well, African-Americans, they have high rates of XYZ, and this is the type of education that they need. This is all that is important for them, you know? So it's kind of just throwing that out because it's trash. and, you know, just regrouping and realizing the love that we deserve. And not only that, but recognizing the love that we can give to ourselves. Because oftentimes, especially when you start looking at trauma, shame and silence in our families, sometimes that's all you have at first is yourself. And how can you give it, give yourself love and patience and explore your own self until, and hopefully you find, you know, a community where that can be, someone can join in with you on that journey. And hopefully in the meantime, we can fill some of that gap.
I just want to shout out to that, like, your Instagram is filled with so many different sized bodies and different shaped boobs and butts and different gender expressions and sexual orientations. And, like, it is just so rich with honestly how I wish media in general was. You know, I mean, like, you have cultivated something that shows the rich diversity of the ways we experience our bodies. And it's erotic and delicious and juicy and also, like, moving and thought-provoking. And it's honestly one of my favorite accounts on Instagram, because it just consistently moves me and inspires me. And so I just want to give you props for, like, cultivating a space that just has so much to offer all of us. And, like, just the soft place to land for the people in your community who really need a safe place to see bodies like theirs and to have conversations like this.
Thank you so much. That I'm like, no, that was beautiful. Thank you for saying that. All the affirmation and praise is received, and I really appreciate it. But on that note, if there's any artists who are listening who want to tag us in their work, because representation, as much as we try, it is really hard to find artwork of people who are Black and trans or Black and gay men. Even when we work with queer male artists, they've, like, created artwork for us that was, like, lesbian women. And I think so many people are just so comfortable seeing women's bodies naked, and a specific type of woman's body naked, to where that's what majority of the artwork ends up being. And we're in this weird place of, we want to be representative of all Black people. We also want the art to be Black. And so there's so many times when you find artwork of, like, oh, this is a trans person who's being sexual and erotic and I love this, it's not a Black body. And so if there's any artists out there who are listening, I really want our page to feel more inclusive and to feel that, like, everyone's represented. I want people with disabilities who are Black and being, like, experiencing their sexuality, like, on our page. And it's just really hard to find the artwork, and neither of us are artists. Otherwise, there would be so much more of it. Well, we're artists in a different way. But
right.
Let me not speak that over. But, you know, and so constantly looking for other artists to feature.
And like, I just want to talk for a second. You know, I love getting up on my soapbox talking about this, but you know, like one of the pivotal moments in my life when I started finally letting go of the terrible ways that I talked to myself and the just like abusive conversations I would have with my body was when I started specifically seeking out imagery of people who were in bodies like mine, and it wasn't like them on a scale with a measuring tape looking sad, you know, like seeing people in bodies who were wearing bikinis and had big bellies and rolls and stretch marks, and seeing people in sexual situations, and like specifically seeking out porn that had bigger bodies in it and fat folks, and like that really was one of the most pivotal moments of my life of just realizing like I can actually maybe be worthy and maybe I can be kind to myself, and like representation and seeing images like ourselves is so important.
Yeah.
And what's it been like for you to be seeking out these like sexual, erotic, beautiful images of Black and brown bodies engaged in all different types of pleasure and display? Like, what has that been like for you?
I love it. I think I'm still searching for porn that does that. And a lot of people ask us about that. And there's not, majority porn still holds on to these tropes around Black sexuality. And a lot of like feminist or women-centered porn isn't inclusive of Black and brown bodies. So still looking on that tip, but as far as artwork, it has just been really just amazing. Like, I wish, like, if we had a place, like, if we had, like, a location, a building, I could just imagine all the artwork we would have up there. Because it is so amazing to walk into a space or just, like, enter a space, even if it's online, virtual, whatever, and to see yourself. Like, you feel like you're home. You feel like you belong. You feel like this is also speaking to you. You know, and it's just, we're not used to that. So many places that we walk into and stuff that I look at online that looks beautiful, aesthetically beautiful, it's like I'm not represented there. It's like, can I live a minimalist life? I don't ever see Black people who are practicing minimalism. Like, can I be a vegan? I don't ever see Black people who are being vegan. You know, it's like always these like spaces where I don't feel included. And so to see ourselves, and we have actually like this Black-owned vegan restaurant out here, and the husband's an artist, a painter, and the wife's a chef. And every time I walk into that space, to see all of his like Black artwork up, to see that like it's vegan food, like I feel so different. And so I hope people feel that way when they come to our Instagram page. And for me, like, just I love seeing myself reflected. Yeah, I think it's a feeling of home and of belonging that I don't get to feel a lot of times just walking around and navigating the body that I'm in this country.
Yeah, and it's just, even just having this conversation, it just highlights how much there is in terms of a lack of recognition in terms of representation, and how some people don't recognize it because they are the stock image. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, what do you mean when you say you feel at home, or you feel like this is something that you can do, because they're so used to seeing themselves in that photo or in that commercial. So it just seems like a really foreign conversation. And even just talking about it now, it's just like kind of emotional, because it's like common sense, you know, like when you see yourself in something, then it feels powerful. It lets you know that this is something that's attainable to you. But just to know that the people who have the positions, who are doing the marketing and things like that, don't look like you, it's just so, not even second thought, it's not even a thought at all. And then when they do it, I don't know who is sitting in the boardroom. Because the things that get passed with the check mark and then it's played on TV, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, and it's just like, oh, then they have to send a little apology. Oh, I'm sorry, we missed the bar on this. This was not meant to be racist. And it's just like, what the fuck, yo? Like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Dove, we're looking at you.
You hear me? You know what I'm talking about. Exactly. So it's just like these type of things. And time and time again, you're just like, by now, don't you know? But it's like every single time we're like, you still don't understand why this is important. It's just really sad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, you go ahead.
I want to say about your question that just came to my mind about what is our favorite tools and things to give to people. I honestly really feel like the more and more I'm doing this work, that I am convinced that everyone has the tools that they need. And I literally feel like most of our work is just mm-hmm. giving people permission and like creating space where people can say like, oh, so-and-so is doing that. I can do that too. There's so many people who just say, you gave me permission. You started my journey. And it's just them seeing themselves reflected, feeling like this is here for them too. And they have the tools and they have the resources and they know what they want to work on and they know what they want to explore and they do it and they do the work. And so I really do feel like, I mean, our space, our role as educators is just to, to ignite people's journeys. And it's not like, I don't feel like we're doing all of this work constantly with people that we have to like spoon feed people. Like people want this, they want it. And they just want to know that they can have it. And so I think for us being really authentic about like the fact that we don't say liberation is an arrival place. It's a state of being. And so we're never like, we have the answers. We're always constantly learning new things about ourselves. I love being in spaces with people because people teach us stuff. And I'm just like, I've never heard of that oral sex position or technique. Thank you so much. Like just constantly being aware that we all have so much to learn, so much to teach one another, so much to heal from. So, you know, so much to explore and that we can do it.
God, that's so important. And I so want, because there's a lot of budding sex educators and seasoned sex educators and also like therapists and counselors who listen to this show. And like, I just so want everyone to hear what you just said of like, your role as educators is to ignite people's journeys. It's not to tell them how to do the journey mm-hmm. or to tell them what they should be doing. It's just this like, it's this invitation and this permission. And then mm-hmm. people can figure it out on their own if they just have that support and that safe space to land.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I feel like most of our work is. People are doing their own work. They're healing themselves. They're exploring their bodies. They're doing it. And we're just your cheerleader.
Okay. So I want to go back to one thing that you said, which is, people are always asking you for porn, and that's a place where you just have a hard time offering mm-hmm. them resources. And listeners are like, oh, shut up and just do it already. But like, you know, I'm slowly priming the pump to start filming some erotic films.
Yay!
Woo! And so I love an opportunity to just like ask people, like, if you could just like see porn that felt like such a beautiful expression of what you want to see and to be able to say like, okay, folks, this is what you should be seeing. Like for me, my first thought is like, well, I would love to bring just your entire Instagram to life, but like, what kind of porn do you want to be seeing that's not out there that would just like set you on fire?
So this is a really hard question for me because this is, which is sad because this is the work I think Afrosexology is doing, but I feel like we're just so starving for representation that I just want to see myself and not, you know, be called a hoe, and which is so sad. Like, I'm not even at the point of like, what do I envisioning sexual fantasies. I'm like, I just want to see myself in a porn and not feel like I have to skip over this part because it's going to kill my sex drive. And I want to see black bodies. But I think I want to see like black people doing some kinky stuff. I want to see black people like on the moon and doing like weird sexual fantasies. And I shouldn't say weird, but just exploring all types of sexual fantasies. I want to see like intimate, loving, women-centered sex with people of color that isn't based on like, you're this like feisty Latina or this submissive Asian or this like hypersexual like black thought. Like, I just want it to be, I just want some like normal shit sometimes, you know, just like, I just want to see people enjoying each other and no one's like slapping my ass being like, yeah, big booty hoe. Like, it's so weird. It's like, this is very simple. Who still says these things? Why are these still happening? Right. Yeah, so just basics.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I just want to see, you know, I just want to see a representation of what people are actually doing. So, like, kill all of the script writing in terms of, like, handyman walks in or handyman asking, you know, for, you know, payment or something like that. Or someone's breaking into a house and...
Oh God.
I saw one like that and I was like, stop. So just like see people loving on one another and just going back to what Delisha said and it being centered around the pleasure of women, people who identify as women and especially with people who have vulvas. Because as we know, porn is so focused on like penetration. Like that's the viewpoint that you always have and it's always about someone groping on a woman's body and it doesn't even look like it feels good. So just taking a step back from all the gimmicks and just showing like real people enjoying one another.
That sounds amazing and delicious.
I can't wait to see what you create. We've been looking for people and we've been encouraging small people. We're like, come on, just start doing porn. Just start doing porn. We just need you out there.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I have so many ideas and things I want to do. And like specifically to that last point, I mentioned this when I was chatting with Erica Lust, that one of the things I would so love to do is to create erotic content that's like really sexy and really hot and super filled with like all kinds of amazing touching and the person with a penis isn't hard. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like it's not about the penis and it doesn't have to be hard for the sex to be really good and really freaking hot and just kind of like, you know, I kind of want to just undo a little bit of that like hard cock needed, you know, for like the sex to happen and just kind of like decenter that and show that it's still super hot for everyone. And like, I love what you're saying too around, can we just kill the tropes and kind of kill some of those really terrible porn, you know, categories that folks fall into and just have beautiful films with beautiful people in a variety of bodies doing delicious looking things.
Yeah. Is that too much to ask for?
Not on my watch. Well, I would love it so much if you would share with everybody listening how they can stay in touch and follow along with all your adventures online.
Yeah, so we're pretty easy to find. Our website is afrosexology.com. That's AFROSEXOLOGY. And we're Afrosexology on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram.
Wow. Well... One-stop shopping. That's really easy. Yeah.
No one had the name. Who would have thought? Yeah. Take it everywhere.
Do you have any workshops or projects coming up that you want to plug or share?
I think everything we're doing is kind of private. Like, it's like people booking us and stuff. So, not really public.
Well, but,
yeah.
People can book you.
Not open to the public.
People can book us. Come to our website to bring us to your group, your community, or your city. We travel anywhere.
Literally, we are ready. Let's go.
Afrosexology on the move again. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and for just, I don't know, filling my heart and my soul up with everything that you shared. It felt so good to just hear what you're focused on and what you're creating out in the world. It's so important.
Thank you for having us.
So sweet. Thank you. This was really fun.
Well, to all of the listeners, I will, of course, have all of the links to Afrosexology's goodness on sexgetsreal.com for this episode. So please check them out. And like at a minimum, follow their Instagram. It is one of my favorite things. If you have any comments or questions, you know I love hearing from you and fielding questions, so you can use the contact form at sexgetsreal.com, and I will field your questions on a future episode. Until next time, I will talk to you soon. This is Dawn Sarah. Bye.